Tuesday morning for the Sefer HaMitzvot Shir, number 205 on rebuke.
You know what that stuff looks like?
No.
But you don't want to know.
Okay. You get rebuked for that comment.
This, we're till 10 or 9:15?
10. Okay. We have just two speakers, it's 10.
Okay. Okay. Actually, from last week's parsha, the pasuk, it's fascinating halachically. It's fascinating philosophically, and I'm sure it will generate debate in terms of its efficacy and how. And I think ultimately, it speaks about, you know, what kind of communities we want to build. I think you'll see. It's hard to do the mitzvah without looking around us and seeing what kind of community we want to live in and what our responsibility is for other Jews. Let's start with the pasuk. The pasuk says, "Lo tisna et achicha bilvavecha." Literally, you know, don't hate achicha, your brother, your fellow, in your heart. Hocheach tochiach et amitecha. Hocheach tochiach, rebuke, you know, criticize, castigate, whatever. Velo tisa alav chait. So let's start there. What do we think the simple meaning is? Hocheach tochiach et amitecha. Criticize, whatever, correct, rebuke your fellow. Velo tisa alav chait. Who wants to take a shot at just... What does it mean? The words are pretty easy.
Don't do hate to other people.
But just the end. Hocheach, criticize your fellow. Velo tisa alav chait.
Maybe if he's already done it, don't... It's too late already. And if you're telling him now, he's in... Passed on an Aveira.
Okay, but it doesn't say any of that in the part. It doesn't say he already did it.
Then you just translate the first part.
Let's try. Velo tisa alav chait. Anybody? So,
don't carry his sin.
So in context, what does it mean?
You don't tell him that he's doing something wrong.
I think that's the simple pshat. The simple pshat is, if you see somebody doing something wrong, and let's make it easier, and you could stop him. Okay, just to make it easier. And you don't... I think the simple reading of the pasuk "Velo tisa alav chait" is that you might bear some responsibility for what he did.
Masechet Shabbat says you do.
We'll get to all the sources.
That we're all responsible for each other.
So it could be Kol Yisrael Arivim Zelazet. Certainly related to it, but this is a standalone. The question is, we're trying to understand what this standalone mitzvah d'oraita counted by the Rambam separately of Hocheach Tochiach Et Amitecha. You know, you should correct your fellow. So here, the simple pshat is "Velo tisa alav chait" means that if you don't, somehow you're complicit in the avera, which is interesting. It means it's not a lo tase; it's a mitzvat ase. When I see somebody, you know, take an easy case, okay, which nobody would argue with. You go to shul and they announce the Erev is down. You're not allowed. They say you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos. You see your neighbor about to leave the house carrying something. Now, it's easy. They're about to leave the house. It doesn't seem that important. They're not in the street, you know. And you go, you know what? I don't want to seem too frum. I don't want to seem like the rabbi of I'm not going to say anything. So one pshat is, you're in violation of a mitzvat aseh. You're commanded by the Torah to tell this guy, listen, don't carry. And part of the punishment is that... Or maybe it's maybe as if I'm exaggerating, but it's maybe as if you're carrying now. Every time this guy walks, every step he takes, it's like you're carrying on Shabbos.
But he doesn't know the Erev is gone. So surely the first thing is said, do you know that the Erev is gone?
He's leaving his house. Yes.
Yes,
the mitzvah is saying, don't walk out with that box. The Erev is down. If you walk out with that box, you'll be in violation of a biblical, probably rabbinic in this case, prohibition. Yes.
You were tempering it as if to suggest that it depends upon his reaction, what you're saying, but from this pasuk, it sounds like you just need to tell him. His reaction is irrelevant.
Okay, but as with every other mitzvah, it has to make some sense.
Well, so, that's what he said.
No, I mean, this is easy, because velo tisa alav chait, let's say I'm reading the pasuk properly. And if you don't stop him, it's as if you committed a sin. Mm-hmm. Presumably part of that is you could stop him. he would listen to you. In my example, your neighbor's a frum guy. Uh-huh. For sure he wouldn't want to carry if the Erev was down. Certainly. That's different than, you know, your neighbor in Efrat is some Russian people who drive all the time on Shabbos. Now you're going to tell him the Erev is down. He drives. You know, he's right? There would be harder to say, harder but not impossible, it would be harder to say when he carries now on Shabbos, it's your violation, when you know full well he's carrying the box out to his car on Shabbos. Just, it's harder to say it in that context.
We have a limited control over anybody else's actions.
And we have to discuss all of that. I agree with you completely. That's why I'm raising the issue. The question is, the fundamental question might be, how limited is this mitzvah aseh min haTorah? What you're suggesting is, I have limited control over other people, as a result of which, it would only make sense in certain narrow situations, like in the case I gave. That's an easy case, right? The easy case, you know they're going to listen to you, whereas in a case where, in my other example, when I lived in the Zayed originally, we had Russian neighbors. You know, of course they drove on Shabbos, but it was so, maybe they weren't Jewish. You know, mm-hmm. We wanted to try to be nice when we moved in. We invited them for Rosh Hashanah, which either they'd never heard of or they didn't know when it was. Just like it would be completely ineffective to tell such a person the Erev is down when they drive on Shabbos. I'm not saying the mitzvah doesn't apply. Well, maybe the mitzvah still would apply.
Who said here?
Okay, bring another seat to the table.
Mr. Weiser,
come, we need you at the table.
Yeah. It's okay.
We need you at the table. I was hoping Bruce would get up.
That's the page right here.
Tell us to tell the truth.
The guy would get up, and then the other guy would get up. And yeah.
What's my line?
That's right. What's my line? Exactly.
Okay. Right. So we're trying to build parameters for when it makes sense. And maybe it's not too early to raise the following fundamental chakira. If the mitzvah is to achieve a goal, and the goal is to stop this person from violating Shabbos, so then presumably we could limit it to a situation which is a reasonable chance that you'll be successful. We could talk about the gray areas, but again, in my example, the first example, my neighbor is from, I tell him the Erev is down, not to carry. For sure, if I don't do that, I'm in violation of a biblical commandment. Mm-hmm. Whereas in the other case, my other neighbor, who maybe isn't, you know, who doesn't know anything and wouldn't listen to me anyway. So if the goal is to prevent the Aveira, then the mitzvah wouldn't apply in my second case of the Mechal Shabbos neighbor. However, if the mitzvah is a standalone mitzvah, namely, it's not result-oriented, the point is, you're supposed to stand up for the honor of God. And when you see a person, you see a Jewish person violating the Torah, you're supposed to say something. You're supposed to protest. Okay? It doesn't, you know it's not going to work. But you're supposed to protest for the honor of God. That's the mitzvah aseh min haTorah. Okay? We're all you. Many, many times we've participated in protests that we knew were a waste of time and wouldn't do anything. But sometimes you feel like, I just have to do something, I have to say something. It bothers me so much to see a person in violation of the Torah, I'm going to say something. Yes? Don't ruin it for me. We're getting there. I promise you, it's in number 4. It's on the sheet. I couldn't cheat anymore. I couldn't put it on the sheet just because you said it. I knew that, Gemara. Okay? Mr. Weiser is raising a significant issue, which is, perhaps you're making it worse. Oh. Okay, fine. I'll give in. Let's look at number 4 before we do anything else. Wait, give me a chance. One at a time. Look at number 4.
What you're saying is,
okay, never mind.
It's an obligation to rebuke somebody who is Shomrei Mitzvot than somebody who is Mechal Shabbat. But could one argue that...
I'm saying it's possible. I'm not... It's 9:10. We're not anywhere near conclusions. I'm saying, if the mitzvah is result-oriented, What the Torah really wants is for me to minimize Chilul Shabbos by way of correcting people. Then it would only make sense to do it to a person who would be open to my rebuke. But a person who's a person who drives in Efrat on Shabbos, he knows that he knows he's not supposed to. You're not going to educate him by telling him, by the way, the Erev is down, don't carry, when he's going into his car. Right? So then it would only apply. Now let's come to Mr. Weiser's point, which touches on the bigger issue of, you know, what if you make the situation worse? What if by telling a person, you're now making the situation worse? So the Gemara here in number 4 says as follows. It's a great line. Hanach lohem li Yisrael. I'm just picking up in the middle. The Gemara says, leave the Jews alone. Mutav, the Gemara is talking about correcting people. It says, Mutav shiyu shogigin va'al yihiyu mezidin. It is better for people to violate halacha unintentionally than to violate halacha intentionally. And the Gemara continues, Vahani mili bidrabanan. Oh, perhaps that's only true about Isurim drabanan. Aval bidda oraisa lo. But maybe if it's in the Torah, then you got to tell them anyway. Maybe it's just, well, if it's a drabanan, better that they violated unintentionally. But if it's in the Torah, you have to tell them. The Gemara says, no. Velohi. Veloshna bidda oraisa, veloshna bidrabanan. Lo amrinan lehu velo midi. The Gemara seems to say that no matter whether it's a d'oraisa or a d'rabbanan, you don't tell a person when it's possible that he's in violation of the law unintentionally. You don't tell him because you risk then, or let's say you knew for sure. Okay, just find a case that's easy. You knew for sure that this person was wholly unaware of the fact that you're not allowed to water your lawn on Shabbos. He grew up, you know, irreligious. He grew up someplace else. He has no, it's true, he's not Shomer Shabbos, but he doesn't even know enough to know what that means. So you get up Shabbos morning, you're going to go to shul, and your neighbor, you know, Mr. Levine, because he changed his name so people wouldn't know he's Jewish. So it's capital L, little e, capital V. He's Levine. We know he's a Levi. We know he's from. But anyway, he changed his name. He's completely assimilated. So now you're going to tell him, you see him watering the lawn. That's an Isser Del Raisa. That's an Isser Del Raisa. You see him watering the lawn. So you say to him, listen, Levine, you're in violation of the Torah law. Now he has no idea. It's true he's a Michal Shabbos, but he has no idea. Now when he continues watering his lawn, maybe you've changed him from a Shogeg to a Mazid. So the Gemara seems to imply, this isn't halacha, but the principle is, and Mr. Weiser made this point, if it's a result-oriented mitzvah, then you could see where, you know, you're yielding negative results. You've turned a person from violating Shabbos b'shogeg to violating Shabbos b'mezid. Now, this touches on another big halachic concept, which we'll talk about for 2 minutes, but I don't want to get too caught up in it. And that is, how narrow a focus should you have in mitzvot bein adam l'chaveiro? Take another example from last week's parsha. There's an Isser d'oraisa of lifnei iver lo titein michshol. Literally it means don't put a stumbling block in front of a blind person, but it is broadly understood to mean don't trip a person up, don't cause a person to be in violation of the Torah. Okay? Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach has a fascinating tshuva. It's well known because it comes up all the time, especially in Israel, especially when you go to the army. A guy in the army gets a care package from home. Okay, he has a, you know, beautiful brownies cake. Now his friend, his bunkmate in the army is a chilon. If he gives him a brownie, the guy's not going to make a bracha. He knows for a fact he's not going to make a bracha. Is that a problem for him to give him the brownie? Right, person comes to your house. You know that they're not going to. You know that they're not going to make a bracha if you feed them. So some people will say you're not supposed to feed them, because if you feed them, you are being machshil them, right? You're causing them to eat without making a bracha, which is a violation of a rabbinic commandment to make a bracha before you eat. So many poskim say you're not allowed to. There's a famous story, Charedim, it's like they debate this whole thing. When the Chazon Ish met Ben Gurion, you know, So they have this whole bizarre story that the Chaznish first of all didn't wear his glasses, so he wouldn't look at him because he's like silly. But the more interesting part of the story is like that the Chaznish put the food out of reach of Ben Gurion, knowing the prime minister wouldn't ask for the food. This way, you get out of the problem. Okay, that's just fascinating. But what's the halacha? So Shlomo Zalman Orbach says, look, if you look at it narrowly, you give the guy a drink, he's not going to make a bracha. You are machshil him, right? But Shlomo Zalman says, but if you look at it more broadly, if you disrespect chilonim and you don't share your food with them, you say, I'm only going to give it to frum people, I'm not going to give it to the chiloni, he's going to hate frum people, he's going to hate God, he's going to be nichshal in many, many more averos. So Shlomo Zalman says, give the guy the food, because you're supposed to have a broader perspective. And the broader perspective is that if you don't give him the food, it's true. He won't violate rabbinic obligation of blessing God before you eat food. But he's going to do 50 other things worse, because he's going to hate God, because God makes people who are angry and hateful, and you know. So he says you could feed the guy. Some of that analysis could be applied here, right? Is the focus just on the fact that this guy's, you know, watering his lawn on Shabbos or mowing his lawn on Shabbos? And if you say something to him and he's not going to listen, are you causing him, will you cause him to hate God more and go, oh, look at these Jews? Or so? It's all part of it. It's all complicated. Yes?
Can your bracha cover him? Or must you never invite this Jew to your house? Which might be even worse than
So I think what Shlomo Zalman would say, that if the purpose of inviting him to your house is to make him love God and make him respect Jews, then you could do it.
Well, you may invite him on for a business meeting.
No, so we have that all the time. This is a fundamental question. Can you invite, in a frat it never happens really, but in New Jersey rather, it happens all the time. Can you invite a Michal Shabbos for Shabbos? Right? How are you going to be Makarv the person if he doesn't see how beautiful Shabbos is in your house? How's he ever going to become more religious? On the other hand, you know he's going to drive. So the accepted position, as endorsed by the OU for NCSY and other things, is you're supposed to invite him for the entire Shabbos. Right? You're supposed to invite him and tell him when Shabbos is, and tell him we would love to have you sleep over, you know, and when Shabbos ends. The fact that you know he's not going to accept that part of the invitation, the fact that you know he's going to get in the car after the meal on Friday night and drive away, is not your problem. And halacha l'maaseh, that's what everybody does.
But the second thing is he may be so impressed by the Shabbos that it could change his mind about that.
Correct, and that's exactly...
Even though he did drive.
That's exactly why we do it. That's exactly why the heter is. Now, I don't think that heter would apply, you know, to your partner at work who's no interest in being Jewish. You want to have, you know, he wants to come Friday night. You're not going to sing Zmiros, you're not going to do anything, you're going to try to have a regular meal, then the heter wouldn't apply. It only applies if there's a greater purpose behind it, which is making people more religious. Yes?
Rather than being very specific, when you see the guy walking out, you know, mowing his lawn, what about that this is giving us an idea to be on the level to educate the neighborhood or the street? You move on the street, you're the one guy in your background, other Jews, they may be or maybe not, you put up a sign, or you let people, you're giving a class about
you move in, you put up a sign,
level.
No driving on Sabbath.
No,
you're the first guy
down,
in the block.
You're
all the time.
Some people are very Chabad
business. It's better. Just put up a barricade.
Chabad don't do that.
Just show up.
They put up the spikes that they wouldn't see.
This is where you're educating in general. You're not telling him, you know, buddy, you're...
Okay, let's learn. We never made it this long without actually learning anything.
I don't think so.
Let's look at the Rambam. Number three. What?
This whole discussion is extremely important.
Okay, but now I want to anchor it. Would that be okay?
Well, I did have a comment. Anyway.
Okay, go ahead. I'm not going to be able to concentrate.
You just think I'm going to salt, don't you?
Well, if history teaches us anything.
Right. This Gemara in number four that you brought.
Yeah.
You mean your example was your next door neighbor who doesn't necessarily know anything.
Right.
But isn't this used historically by rabbis, even in frum communities, where they know that the tzibur, the community, is not going to manage to agree to do something, and then they just leave it alone?
I don't know. It's a fair. I don't know.
You know, Dan. You know, that's a question.
There are loads of. I think there are loads of examples.
Can you?
That's,
okay.
Wait. That's like Rabbi Riskin when he started off in Lincoln Square, was a conservative shul.
Okay.
No mechitza, and he said, within a short time, I don't know the time frame. There's going to be a mechitza, or I'm leaving.
Well, Rav Soloveitchik told him to write. Yeah. Plan that
well, okay.
That's a certain amount of time.
Example. Yeah. I'm talking about an example where he's mechel, where the Rav says.
Right. I know you're
nobody's
saying
nobody's going to keep it, so I'm not going to say it.
Look. I could see that being a rationale for unless that, people
that's what Gemara's talking
unless
about.
People know they're not talking about Orthodox rabbis. You could apply it in that case. Okay, yeah. I'll give you an example from my life, and then we'll hopefully this will come up later. I was an NCSY advisor. Okay, I was a Kiruv machine. Anybody who came close to me became. I'm joking. Anyway, so I'm on a Shabbaton. Now most kids are not from, and generally speaking, you know. It's not a good tactic to constantly point out that they're doing things wrong. But sometimes, like, you know, so I go into the bathroom, and there's a guy, I remember the guy, he's now reached some minor level of fame as a reality TV star, as it happens. The guy shaved.
Is Trump?
The guy. At some level of fame. He's Jewish. Not his daughter. He himself is Jewish, the guy. He's shaving with a blade. Okay, that's a pasuk in the Torah. So I think like this is the kind of thing that. So I say to him, "Listen, you're really not allowed to do this." So you know, he's. I say, "This isn't like a rabbinic thing," and I said, "You know, it's a verse in the Torah." He could care less. You know, so now I have a choice. I could wrestle him for the blade, at the risk of cutting one or the two of us, whatever. I let it go, because I have no choice. But I was very troubled afterwards, maybe whether I made a terrible mistake. Maybe he had no idea. You know, my guess was, if I told him, I showed him, it was a pasuk in the Torah, and the kids had come to an NCSY thing, and it's not like a life-altering thing. I didn't know at the time that like shaving with a blade is so great. And that shaving with the way we do it is like ridiculous and it takes forever and it doesn't work. You know, like if you shave with a blade, apparently you don't have to shave every day because it cuts you so close.
I've got an electric shaver like that.
You're welcome.
Fine.
Don't say anything more.
Okay. So okay. That was it. You didn't go.
Anyway, so I was very troubled by whether maybe I did it wrong, maybe not. That's my story. But now you'll see how it plays out. Let's learn. Look at number 3, the Rambam. Sefer HaMitzvot, number 205. That's what we're doing. It says as follows. V'hamitzvah hareshe, number 205. Hishetzivanu lehochiach hachote. We should rebuke the sinner. Omisha yirtzelato. Vilimnoa otomimenu bima'amar vitochecha. We should try to prevent him from sinning by speaking to him, by rebuking him, whatever. So what's the sense you get in the first pasuk? What's in the first line? What's the core of this mitzvah for the Rambam?
So I need to speak to him.
But I think to prevent the sin from happening. Right, which would mean, like maybe after he did it, there's nothing to say here because he says limnoa oto. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right, either he's in the middle of watering his lawn, or you see him pulling out the hose. So the Rambam would say, from the first line, it sounds like, you know, if by the time you come home from shul, he's putting away his hose, so then the mitzvah, you know, there's no mitzvah.
It's result oriented.
Second line, ve'ein run ra'ui lanu sheyomar echad mimenu. And we should not say the following, and take this to heart. Ani lo echta, I don't water my lawn on Shabbos, okay? Vim yechata zulatin, if this guy waters his lawn, Mali, who cares? Dino emeloka, that's between him and his God. Him and my God, but it's none of my business, right? I'm not getting involved. I keep the rules. This guy doesn't keep the rules, that's up to him. So anybody who thinks that, anybody who's ever thought that here, which is everybody of us at one point or another should know, the Rambam says 3 words after that. Ze hefech ha-Torah.
Wow.
Pretty harsh words from the Rambam. The Rambam says, that's the opposite of the Torah. The approach that I do mine and he does his, and let's not get involved in each other's business, ze hefech ha-Torah. Okay? That's harsh. Well, rather. Aval, third line in the middle. Anachnu mitzuvim Shelo namra velo na'azov zulatenu. We're commanded not to let this guy be alone. Me'umatenu sheyamra v'mishtadel lahamrot chayavim anu lahochicho ulahoshivo. If we're responsible for this, it says the Rambam, if he's going to try to water his lawn, you have to try to stop him. Now again, so far it's just by talking to him. But the Rambam says, this is why I said at the beginning, I think it's so important philosophically. The Rambam is saying, you know, I think what he's saying is as follows. If you would do it for your kid, you have to do it for another Jew. Because we're all responsible for each other. Says the Rambam, and you might think as follows. Listen, there's no one else who sees this. He's not going to be punished. No one gave him hasra'ah. I'm not saving him, right? You can see a situation where, and this, actually, if you lived in a time where there was a functioning Beis Din, you might run out to stop your neighbor from watering the lawn, because if two people see him and he does it anyway, and maybe they'll take him to Beis Din, you know, he could be subject to punishment, you'll save him from punishment. So the Rambam, no, it has nothing to do with punishment. He's still committing an Aveira, and you're still responsible for stopping him. V'hu amaro yitaleh, says the Rambam, that's our pasuk, hocheach tochiach et amitecha. Okay, so up to now it seems to me the Rambam is very clear. The mitzvah is to try to prevent this person from doing an avera. Why? Because we're responsible one for the other. Because the idea that so long as I don't commit averos, what my neighbor does doesn't, you know, is none of my business, says the Rambam, zeh hefech ha-Torah, that's the opposite of what the Torah wants. The Torah wants us to care about our neighbors, and the Torah wants us, to the extent we can, I'm reading into the Rambam, but I'm pretty sure this is true, to the extent we can, we should stop him. And if we don't...
Shalom Bayis doesn't come into it.
What's Shalom Bayis have to do with
that? Your next door neighbor, to keep good relations with your next door neighbor.
Well, again, would you... If your son did something terribly wrong, would you say, listen, I don't want my son to be... It could be part of the... No, but I think the Rambam is saying... My sense, the Rambam is saying that perhaps we err too quickly on the side of, you know, better that he likes me. Like the Rambam is saying, you have to look at it, you know, you have to look at it as if it's your responsibility. Now, that doesn't mean every time you're going to run out, although in the Rambam, here, you know what? To make it clearer, go flip over to number 8. Let's see the Rambam, how he paskins this in the Yad HaChazaka and Hilchos Deos. The second paragraph of number 8, so it's Hilchos Deos, Perek Vav, Halacha Zayin. Says the Rambam, Haroeh Chaveiro Shechata. Here, he sinned, O Shehalach B'derech Lo Tava, or Holech B'derech Lo Tava, he's in violation of rules. Mitzvah Lahach Zero Lemutav. Says the Rambam, you have a mitzvah to get him back on track. Ulahodio shehu chote al atzmo b'ma'asav hara'in. You have to let him know what you're doing is wrong. You got to, your neighbor invites you over, and he's barbecuing a steak, and then he puts milk on the table. Says the Rambam, you got to tell him.
Once he tells you, I know.
Let's finish the Rambam first. Okay. Sheneemar, second line, hocheach tochiach et amitecha. Now. Says Rambam, Hamochiach. Now he's going to give you some practical advice. Hamochiach et chaveiro bein bidvarim shebeino leveino. A person who corrects his neighbor, whether just the two of them. Whether it's on a beinonam lachaveiro, which by the way we would all do. You know, the neighbor keeps parking in front of somebody else's driveway. You know, and you know it's a bad thing. So you go to him and you tell him, listen, you're not a good neighbor. Bein bidvarim shebeino lebein makom, or he's mechal Shabbos. Tzarich lahochicho beino lebein atzmo. So the first thing the Rambam says is, don't do it publicly. I feel like the Rambam was saying that never works, right? You get the guy one on one on the side where he's not going to be humiliated. V'yidaber lo benachat. Listen to the Rambam; it's so practical. V'yidaber lo benachat ubilashon raka.
Yeah,
you speak to him softly and respectfully. V'yodio she'eino omer lo el letovato, and you let him know you're doing it because you really want to be a good neighbor, because you really want it to work for him. La'havio l'chayel amaba,
So what? One of the ways to do it, in my, you know, is, okay, you go to, let's take an example. You go to somebody's house for lunch on Shabbos, and they serve you hot soup. Okay, it's almost impossible to serve hot soup, you know, on Shabbos day. Chalent is not soup. Soup is a liquid. Okay, take my word for it. Right. 1 second. You can think of a million other examples. It doesn't matter. So now, everybody's at the table, all the neighbors, you know, whatever. The Rambam doesn't say, you go, yo, what are you doing?
You're cooking for the
I think the Rambam would say, you know, after the meal, no one's around, you go over and you say, listen, I'm no rabbi. But I think that halacha is, because I learned once, that you can't heat up a liquid, you know, you can't boil soup on Shabbos. Maybe I'm wrong, you know, you could ask this rabbi, you could ask that. I think there are ways to do it where you have a significant chance, one second, we have a significant chance of success, and there are ways of doing it where you stand no chance of success. And the Rambam is saying to you, listen,
this is after you've eaten the soup.
Would he eat the soup? That's what I wanted to ask.
No, he can't eat the soup.
It's too hot.
So then he's got to make an issue right there.
Why, you never didn't eat something that was served to you at someone's house?
Well, you know.
I
sat in somebody's sukkah, which was obviously not kosher, and then you couldn't eat anything there.
Okay.
Well, what do you do? Yeah.
I know, it's a problem. I don't know.
Yeah.
Vegetables.
Right, you just drink the soup.
Anyhow, once the guy tells you once, listen.
Wait, let me just finish. One second, let me finish. Now, we're finishing. Go on. Im ki bail me, third line from the bottom. Im ki bail me menu mutav. Okay, you tell the guy, and if he accepts it, fine. V'im ladram says, yochi chenu pam shal shlishit. You keep telling him. I know this is uncomfortable, and you're all thinking, like, this is ridiculous. But the Rambam thinks you get somewhere. V'chein tamid chayav adam lahochicho ad sheyakeo achote. Now, I don't know if this is literally. The Rambam, you know, say basically you have to keep at it. V'yomar lo eini shomea. The Rambam says you have to keep at it till the guy says, listen, you could come to me every single day for the rest of your life. I'm going to keep boiling my soup on Shabbos. I'm not going to listen. So then I think the sense of the Rambam says it's result oriented. At the point where it becomes clear that the chance for success is zero, you're putter. V'chol she, now, v'chol she'efshar biyado limchot. Ve'eino moche, if you have a chance to do it and you don't do it, hu nitpas ba'avon elu. It's as if you did the avera. The Rambam reads the pasuk that we started with, v'lo tisa lavchet, it's your avera, she'efshar lo limchot bahem, because you could have done something about it. So now think about it. We're very quick. In fact, I'm sure we're too quick when you're at somebody's house. And you know it's wrong. You know, I'm not looking for chumras. You know it's wrong. Okay? I think we all think, you know, why should I get involved? And the Rambam is saying it's wrong. The presumption should be that people, it comes down to something very fundamental. I think the Rambam is saying the presumption is people want to keep halacha. The presumption is people want to keep Torah rules. Sadly, we presume the opposite.
That's a firm guy.
We presume the opposite. And so the Rambam will say, if you're at the house and you don't do anything about it, you're guilty. Now, too, if you're sure it's not going to work, but I think if you're sure it's not going to work, but I think in most cases,
well, if you know the person's dati, okay, then you figure that they just,
well, in my
they
example, you're eating in the house.
Well, okay, so. right, not the steak and milk thing, yeah, but if you know for sure that again, back to that, is the wrong problem. You know he's not going to listen to you. In fact, he may even do.
Okay, so you know, but all I'm saying is the Rambam's assumption is different than ours.
Yes,
the Rambam's assumption is. People, if done properly, people are likely to listen. So again, I agree with you. In a situation where the person is a Michal Shals Befarhesia, and he knows better. Okay, you know, a person, God forbid, you know, somebody grew up religious, and now they're no longer religious. And they drive to their parents' house on Friday night in Ephrat.
And they know it's wrong.
So I think the Rambam would say, going over to that person saying, you know, you're not supposed to drive on Shabbos, that doesn't make any sense.
Well, not from what you said, it sounds like you really should, because who knows?
No, he doesn't, but you're not reading. He doesn't say who knows. He says, you know, until the person says Eini Shomea.
Yeah, but you got to start. He's saying you got to start.
But you're just being difficult because 1 second.
I think he's talking in the 11th century, where 90% of the people around him were frogs.
Good.
And
good.
Now in our day.
Good. So I'm using an example. But in Efrat, if it's not 90, it's 80%. Right? We're not. The place we live in is not that different than Alexandria.
Okay.
You know, no, in 1130.
There is a big difference. In those days, under Sharia law, you know, you could be a from cop here, personal independence.
You're just making that
walk
up.
Walk up to kids and say.
You're making that up. The Rambam doesn't say anything about arresting or making a citizen's arrest.
No, I know. I'm just saying people are used to higher authority being on top. In a place today where every. Walk around in front, tell teenagers. You know, the way you're dressed really isn't halakhically appropriate. You know it. How come you don't do it?
But you can argue. The reason I'm not taking those examples is because there's room for argument. Right? There's no room for argument on Basar B'Chalav. I'm specifically picking examples. There's no room for argument on shaving with a blade. Yeah. Right? It's or not... No one could say back to you, you know, it's not true. I could show you... These are easy things. So what I'm saying is, I think in the Rambam, it's result-oriented. You could disagree with me. My guess is, right, if you grew up in an Orthodox house, and now you drive on Shabbos, there's nothing I could say. And probably would just yield negative results, because a person has made a conscious decision. He knows what Shabbos is. It's different when a person doesn't know. Mm-hmm. And especially, most of our cases where we hide from it, when you're invited to somebody's house on Shabbos, You ought to assume that this person wants to be as religious as you are. Not the opposite. Well, you secretly go, I know that's Asur. I can't deal with this guy.
Yeah.
I'm so much more religious than him. The Rambam says, after the meal, you go over quietly and you say, and I really think he means, and I really think it would work. You know, it's possible, I think you should look into it, it's possible that.
Right.
And that's it. And I think it stems from a fundamental premise that the Rambam thinks we're supposed to feel more responsible for each other than we do. Now, if I want to sermonize for a second, I'm quite sure it's because when you mix in with somebody else's business and correct them, you're a Haredi. That's what Haredim do. They stand on the side of the road and they scream Shabbos and they throw rocks. And we're humanists. You know, we respect other people's choices. I think the Rambam is more Haredi on this.
Yeah.
Again, with the caveat that throwing a rock at a car never made a person more religious in the history of the world.
Can't think of any issue.
Screaming at somebody never made it. I'll tell you what, I heard this great story. I think I heard it from a Riskin years ago from a guy who was in the Chafetz Chaim's yeshiva. Okay?
Yeah.
And he got caught smoking on Shabbos.
Yes.
That's really bad.
Smoking what?
He got caught smoking
cigarettes. Bruce.
Now
medical
he gets called in by the Chafetz Chaim, and the Chafetz Chaim just starts crying. And he takes his hand in his hand, and the guy and tears are falling on his hand. And the guy says, "They were like his tears were burning my hand." And all he says is, "Shabbos, Shabbos." That's the whole conversation. If you could say Shabbos that way. You know, it worked, right? If you could show that kind of pain over Chil Shabbos, most of us can't. Okay, that's the Rambam so far. But again, I think it stems from, you know, we hide behind. I don't want to mix in, right? If my neighbor voted for Trump, then I'm going to mix in, you know.
Yeah.
But he's Chil Shabbos. That's none of my business. That's none of my business. He puts a sign up on his lawn, a Trump sign. I can't live in a community like that. He drives the Shabbos. Oh, who cares?
In this crowd, it's the other way.
I had to use an example. Okay, fine. Bruce actually attacked somebody with a Hillary Clinton bumper sticker. Okay, back.
Really?
Back inside number three. Now, there was another way. You know, go back to number one. There was another way to read the pasuk that nobody picked up on. Let's read the pasuk again. Lo tisna tachicha bilvavecha. Do not hate your brother, your friend, your other, in your heart. The other way to read the pasuk is lo tisna tachicha bilvavecha. Rather, hocheach tochich et amitecha. He's doing stuff that bothers you. Don't keep it in. Don't hate him. Every day you pass your neighbor, and I hate that guy. You know, he blocks my driveway every day. I really hate him. The other way to read the pasuk is lo tisna tachicha bilvavecha. Rather, speak it out.
Don't
tell him what it is that he's doing wrong. V'lo tisa alav chet, because otherwise you'll be in violation of. People don't think it's possible, but that's one of the pshatim. You wouldn't assume lo tisnat achicha bilvavecha means don't keep it in. Now, this happened. I know a guy who did this. He's very immature, and I think not only that, he like has psychological issues. But a guy in yeshiva went over to this other guy, and he said to him, listen, I don't want to be in violation of lo tisnat achicha bilvavecha, so I just want to tell you, I hate you.
you witnessed this?
Okay?
You,
no, the other guy told me.
Oh, okay.
But he came to me 5 minutes later, so like I know it's true. So, you know, we don't need that kind of frumkeit in the world. Sure. Listen, I wouldn't say it otherwise, but it's an Isser Torah, so I need to tell you how much I hate you. No. So now watch what the Rambam does. Back inside, I'm sorry, we're number three.
Yeah.
We are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the sixth line. First word on the line is v'nichnas. Ram has another pshat. V'nichnas b'tzivui hazeh, also included in this commandment, shena'ashim kitzateinu likitzateinu kisheyechta ish mimenu le'ish v'lo nitarlo. The other pshat, says the Ramam, is when one of us does something else to somebody else, we say something so that he won't be angry at him. V'nachshov lo avon, because if you just hate another person, right, that's a sin. Aval nitztaveinu lahochicho b'ma'amar ad shelo yishaer davar b'nefesh. Okay, your neighbor, you know, blocks your driveway every day, leaves just a tiny room, takes you forever to pull out because you have to get around it, and every day you hate him more. Says the Rambam, you have a Torah obligation to go to him and say, listen, I got to tell you, it really bothers me when you do this. You have to tell him you hate him, but you have to try to. The Rambam says part of the mitzvah of hocheach tochiach, nothing to do with shmir Shabbos, nothing to do with anything else. Right. Just in interpersonal relationships, if you find yourself crossing a line that you're so angry at this guy that you hate him, think poorly of him, what have you, says the Rambam, you have a mitzvah satorah to call for a meeting, have a summit, you know, and speak out what it is that's bothering you. V'lashon sifra, says the sifra, minayin im hochachto afilu arba avachamisha pamim chazor v'ochiach. How do you know if you did it 4 or 5 times? You have to keep doing it. Talmudom hochiach tochiach. Yachol afilu at. Okay, well, the truth is, this is just the first point that we started. Okay, so the Rambam says there are now two parts to this mitzvah. One is, we'll call it the beinam lamakom part. You see a person violating halacha, that's one part of it. The other is just interpersonal relations. Right, your neighbor does something and it's getting under your skin over and over again. If you're going to hate him for it, if you're going to think poorly of him, if you're going to be angry, you have to stop it, you have to call him in, and you have to discuss it. Now, well, just one more point. Now, it happens to be the case that everybody else points out the following. If you're at fault because you're super sensitive, right, he's not doing something objectively wrong, it bothers you that, you know, that he parks his car near your driveway, that's your hang up. So then the halacha is clear. You should try to overcome it yourself.
Well, why not always apply it?
Huh?
Why not always apply it?
Because it's stupid.
You should learn to get over it. I mean,
no. Because that's the point. Sometimes a guy's doing something wrong. It's not. We're not asked to be superhuman. Right? Every day, the guy leaves his bag of trash in front of my front door so that I take it to the dump. I do it once, I assume he's tired, whatever. At some point, I should get over it? No, I should tell the guy, listen, I'm not your garbage man. By the way, I love my neighbors. It sounds like, okay, yeah.
You were talking about throwing stones not having any positive effect. Well, a few years ago...
It's well known, by the way, that sticks and stones may break my bones. But names will never harm me.
Yeah.
You have a
so I stopped a Haredi teenager who was actually doing that. And I said,
You threw a stone at him.
No. I said, you know, aren't stones muktzah?
I thought,
you know,
he prepared it before Shabbat.
And he said, no, I was making before Shabbat.
What a tzaddik. But you tell him that your stone is pachos mikashir. The Chazon Ish held the stone had to be bigger. You don't say the mitzvah was a tiny pebble. You need boulders. I think that's what I would have done.
I okay. Never find a boulder and then be able to do it.
Too bad I didn't think of that.
Okay. Now, how far do you have to take this? Look at number 5. Says the Sefer Achinuch. Umikol makom. Amru zichronam livracha. Gam kein. She'im yireh hamochiach. She'ein bidivrei tochach tov shum toelet nimtza. You see, you got no shot. It's not working. He's not going to listen. Mitoch godel resha hachote. The guy, you know, the guy's a Michal Shabbos. Ush oshehu ish ilein v'rasha biyoter umityare mimenu. Your neighbor, you know, is this huge Italian guy who, you know, who knows Tony Soprano, and you don't really want to put yourself at risk by telling him, you know, to stop doing this.
Wait, you just made him into a non-Jew.
Right, it's a bad example.
Yeah.
He knows Bugsy Siegel.
Okay.
He knows.
No, wait, but
how's
he,
that?
No, but seriously, but he's Jewish. I mean, I would.
Right, he has to be Jewish.
Okay.
No, right. For Chilul, let's be clear. Okay. For the Chilul Shabbos example, for the first case, yeah, he has to obviously be
right.
Jewish.
Can't tell. Okay.
In the second case, I don't know.
Uh-huh.
That's a good question. Whether lo tisna, it's achicha, usually the drasha of achicha is achicha b'toruv mitzvah is a Jew.
Yeah.
Does, that's probably the right answer.
I would say if he's 6'5" and has a quick temper.
No, so he's saying, that's what he's saying. Oshu ish ilaim v'rashab umityaremi menu shelo yamod alav yargenu she'eno chayav mitzvah zo be'ish kazeh. Okay, it's clear. This isn't yaharg v'al yavol, right? You don't have to put your life on the line or put yourself at physical risk, you know, to point out that somebody's being mechal Shabbos or otherwise in violation of Torah law. The chinuch is just like, you know, a reality check here. One, if it's not going to work,
yeah.
And by the way, if it's not going to work, I think it means not just because he's a show gig, but just it's not going to work. You know it's not going to work. Okay, let's look at the halacha.
Is it on you? If you know you're not going to be affected, you, for example, Ellie, you might be affected. So between the two neighbors, I would say to you, you know, Ellie, our mutual neighbor, you were an NCSY
advisor. You were such a coward.
You're the
coward. I can't believe that.
Well, I'm wondering if the guy who knows he could be effective, we should defer to him, rather than a guy who's struck
look,
out every time.
If you believe that, it's a result-oriented mitzvah, I think you're absolutely right. It pays to strategize and think to yourself, well, what if I got Rabbi Riskin? Right? Rabbi Riskin is smart, and he has a way with people, and he's soft-spoken, and he probably has like 50 funny stories to tell the person. Or maybe you're right. You know, I certainly think if it's obvious to you that, you know, the chances of success are better. But I'll tell you this. In most of our cases, I find, let's say the case of the soup on right. Shabbos. Right. So Rabbi Riskin's going to call the person up, you know, like you told on the person, Rabbi Riskin, that's bad. Like, I just think your chance is better. But your chance is better, again, you know, if you use a thoughtful approach, which is in private saying, listen, I don't want to come off like some religious fanatic or anything, but I know that my guess is you would care. And I think it's possible, that's how, you know, I think it's possible that you're not supposed to do it this way. Also, because most people, you know, after it's over, they're not so invested in soup. You know, none of these things matter so much. What they're invested is their personal self-worth and their, you know, what people think of them. So I think in almost all cases, when you do it quietly with a person who otherwise would care, yes.
Is it possible this whole discussion has been on a one-on-one basis?
Yes, absolutely.
So the Gemara that says, Mutav Shoshogim Anim Zidim, may be talking about the public.
But it's not. In the context, I'll tell you what it's talking about. It's talking about Tosefes Yom HaKippurim is the context.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You're supposed to start, and it's funny, we think it's just nowadays, you're supposed to start Yom Kippur earlier than you would on Shabbos. That's probably a Din Doraisa. So it's a whole problem, again, in those days, like women wanting to go to shul for Kol Nidre, and they have to bench licht first, and then they're going to have to walk to shul and carry things. It's in that context where they're trying to say, and the halacha says, like, if they're not going to listen to you, you're going to tell your wife, listen,
so
you
that's have communal.
No,
that's
it's your
communal.
Wife. It's individual.
But it's phrased in the Gemara in...
That's just how it's phrased.
But
I don't think it's a fair deal. I think that's just how the Gemara talks about in general, better for people to be shogigin than to be mezidin. But it's not because the Ritva says, I didn't bring it here, that it may be this doesn't apply to a community. Mm-hmm. The whole community is doing something wrong. You're gonna show up and fix it. It doesn't apply. So that's how I know that I think...
Well, what would the Rambam say about a Jewish community where half the members are opposed to an Erev, and you know that convincing them will not be create the result you want? Should you go to court? Should you...
I don't know that that's... I don't think there's a mitzvah to put up an Erev. I think it's very useful to put up an Erev. I don't think it falls into the...
Because we have these cases in the States
all the time. All I'm saying is...
You had in England as well.
Right. And the opponents are always the Jews.
Yeah, always the Jews.
The Italians don't care. It's the, you know...
What about the question who arises... How do you define the word achicha? Lotus not...
Right, correct. So...
If you define it as someone who is aticha b'torah b'mitzvot,
right,
and you're Haredi, you could say all these secular Jews, they're not my brothers because they don't observe Torah mitzvot.
I wish they would say that. That'd be great.
I'm sure that would be an argument that could be used. What would you use as a counter argument?
So again, I happen to think that Haredim are too machmir in this mitzvah, and the state would be better off if they left Chilonim alone. You know, fine. That's the heter. They should say they're not al chicha b'tovu mitzvah. So therefore, if they drive on Shabbos, none of my business. I don't know. That
saves some rocks.
Let's go.
We said if you say it's not going to work, if a chayidi shouts, it says something to a chayidi that you're not supposed to.
Okay, but again,
you're not going to listen to him.
Again, but at some point, the other idea kicks in, which is making a protest, making it clear. And I think there, I don't want to get into it, but in the state of Israel, it might be different. Here, in Alon Shvud, you're not allowed to drive on Shabbat. I think in the Veid Daniel, the gate is closed, you're not allowed to drive. In Efrat,
you are.
So on the one hand, you could say, I love living in Efrat, we're so open-minded, we don't try to impose our values on somebody else. But let's admit it, there is something nice about being part of a community where you don't drive on Shabbos. Right. Where the community makes a statement. Now, I spend a lot of Shabbos in Alon Shvud. Here's what happens. People park their cars outside of the gate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, on the circle outside of Alon Shvud. Yeah. So that they could drive on Shabbos. So I'm of two minds. On the one hand, you know, why are we torturing these people? On the other hand, how nice that the commune standard is we don't drive on Shabbos. We're not going to go into your house and enforce it against you. But we take responsibility one for the other. You know, not clear. Let's just try to knock off a little bit. Look at number six. The Shulchan Aruch says. The Ramah Hagah. V'hu hadin b'chol davar isur amrinan mutav shiushogigin v'ayu mezidin. Right. Normally we would say that better that they sin unintentionally than intentionally. But here's where my example comes in. He says, v'davka she'eino mufurish b'torah. The rule of mutav shiushogigin v'ayu mezidin only applies when it's not written clearly in the Torah. Mm-hmm. Like the soup case. Soup is not, it doesn't say anything about warming
soup
up soup.
Soup.
Wait. Afal pishu doraisa. There are many doraisas that are not written in the Torah. Watering your lawn is an issur doraisa. It's not written any place in the Torah. Aval im mifurash ba Torah mochin biyadan. Says the Ramah, if it's a pasuk in the Torah, I'm getting over this. I'm getting on this guy no matter what. Now, I think it's as follows, and that's really why I did the razor blade thing with that kid. That's a pasuk in the Torah. No, that's not the pasuk. Ta'ar lo yal. I said to him, it's a verse. It's, you know, I think the Ramah is saying, it could be the Ramah couldn't imagine writing in the 1500s, or the Chafetz Chaim also says it's writing in the 20th century. I think he couldn't imagine that you show a Jew a pasuk and he doesn't listen. He could imagine you tell the guy it's a Rambam, you tell the guy it's a Gemara and Menachos, what's the difference? But if you show him a pasuk, so either he's just assuming it would always work. So he's cutting it back. He's saying, you know, it's true. It's a drabanan, it's a doraisa that's not written clearly in the Torah. You might lose. Mutav shu shogin v'ayu mezidin. It's a pasuk. Who's not going to listen to the pasuk? Now you could claim, I know a lot of people are not going to listen to a pasuk, and if that's the justification for the Ramah, then maybe not. Okay, let me finish with two things. We're not going to have time to do anything else. Let me finish with two things. One I think is really fundamental. Look at number 10. We'll do 10 and 11. 10 is what we talked about already. That's the Gemara and Shabbos that somebody mentioned at the beginning. Kol mi she'efshar limchot la'anshei beito velo micha. Somebody who could correct the behavior of people in his family, let's say, and he doesn't, nitfas al anshei beito, he will be punished for the sins of his family members, because he could do something about it and he doesn't. Be anshei iro, if he could stop, you know, violations by his neighbors and he doesn't, nitfas al anshei iro, he'll be punished for that. Bechal ha'olam kulo, if he has exceptionally, you know, strong influence and he doesn't use it, nitfas al kol ha'olam kulo, he'll be punished for everybody. This makes it very practical, right? You have to ask yourself, could you be successful? And if you could be successful and you don't do it, you're in trouble. Most significant one that I want to end with, we'll have a second for questions afterwards, and I think this is something we have to ask ourselves honestly, because I think we just hide from this fact. Look at this, the Medrash in Yalkut Shimoni, it's very famous. Amar Rav Tarfon, Temia ani, Rav Tarfon says, I wonder, im yesh bidor hazeh sheyachol lahochiach. I wonder if there's one person alive in my day who knows how to properly rebuke somebody else. It means with sensitivity, whatever. That's the easy part. Amar Rav Elazar ben Azariah ha'avoda. I swear, im yesh bidor hazeh sheyachol lekabel tochacha. Forget about giving criticism. Is there anybody who can accept criticism? I think that part of our fear and our hesitation in giving criticism is because we're so poor at taking criticism. And I think the Medrash really speaks to it. You have to ask yourself, how would I feel if somebody came to my house and told me that I'm cooking on Shabbos and it's inappropriate? And the answer is, I feel miserable. But after you feel miserable, would you accept it or not? I feel like if we were more open to criticism, if we weren't so defensive, and we all are, okay, I am, right? You don't want to be caught doing something wrong, and your natural reaction is, what do you know? You know? I think this is the key. If we each were the kind of person who would want to be told when we were doing something wrong, then we would be much more willing and much more capable and much more likely to tell other people. And maybe the trick is building a community where it's clear people want to become more religious, people want to become more sensitive, and, you know, it's obviously, it would be Gan Eden to live in such community, but maybe that's what we're supposed to strive for, living in a community where I would be happy to hear from you that I could do something to be a better neighbor. And I would be happy to hear from you that I could do something to be a better Jew. And that when you shush me in shul, right, that's the only tochacha we ever really do. Okay? When you shush me in shul, actually feel bad, because it means I'm bothering you. I know you're not shushing me for no reason. It means I'm interrupting your davening, and I feel bad. And when you say to somebody else to stop talking in shul, they don't take a point. That's the kind of society we could build. And if so, the mitzvah of Ochei Atachim would be much easier.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. Thank you, Ellie. More